Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET.
Howdy, y'all, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 256. Goes out to my dear mother-in-law, who's celebrating her birthday on Saturday. So happy birthday to you. And listeners will know who this is talking, because I am, I actually like my in-laws. So I'm not Gumby Vreeland here. So thank you for coming to the show. And this goes out to my mother-in-law. Yes, I am Jeff Chalks Fox, the one that doesn't badmouth his family and in-laws on air. Thanks for coming to the show. It's been a while, though, so people who will have to dive back into the archives if you want to hear some Gumby fun. This isn't a ripping on your in-law podcast, even though sometimes it is. No, this is a MMA podcast, and this week it's a UFC pay-per-view podcast. They expect us to pay for this pay-per-view. I don't know about that. Well, Gumby will tell us why. Dana White shield that he is, he will tell us why this is worth our $70. I shouldn't act like I don't know how much they charge for these things, should I? That probably gives away something. But yes, it's a pay-per-view from the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada. UFC 282 is the name of it. Blachowicz versus Ankalaev. Yes, they are headlining a pay-per-view with these two men. So let's bring in the man who I've disparaged plenty in that, 2-minute intro. It's the man known as Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I don't see you telling people that I talk badly about my in-laws as disparaging. Everybody knows that. So that's not a disparagement by any stretch of the imagination. But I think if you are somebody who looks for narratives that you need to see on a pay-per-view to be like intrigued by things, you're right. This pay-per-view is not worth it. If you're looking for like five very competitive fights that are probably hard to call the winner of and should present some sort of level of intrigue and some level of action, like, it does that. Like, it is going to give you five good fights. I don't see any of them as a one-sided beatdown or any of them as being like the other guy can't win. So
no,
I guess it depends on what you're looking for. It's worth it in some respects, and other respects, like, you know, you have a guy who recently lost the title against the guy who wasn't even going to be the challenger.
Yep. How about household names, Dan? There's a few.
Patty Pimblett's a household name.
Darren Till still is, I guess, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, Bryce Mitchell is becoming it. Have you...
Yeah, for the wrong reasons, but yes.
I mean...
Sometimes it's good reasons.
Yeah, have you ever seen his commercial for a car dealership?
No.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to put that in the Discord while Please. We're recording.
In the Discord, on the SGPN MMA Twitter account. Put it out there.
All right. But anyway, it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my whole life. So maybe you can watch that afterwards.
Well, there you go. Yeah, well, we're despite this being a well-matched-up card, I agree with Gumby, our main portion of the card. Agree with him there. Oh, we're going to pick winners for you with with ease, because that's just what we do around here. So we're starting things off with Mr. Bryce Mitchell, who Gummy just mentioned, perhaps the best fight on the card, or at least on the main portion of the card, maybe outside of the main event. Featherweights, Bryce Mitchell versus Ilya Topuria. Someone is going to lose their zero in this fight, because both these men have zero career losses. I'll tell you about Mitchell first. Thug Nasty, 15-0 with 9 submissions, 6-0 in the UFC, 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. So there you go. He technically lost a fight. Was a regional champ, 2-0 on World Series of Fighting. Used to fight at bantamweight, 3 inches taller than Topuria, inch of reach on him. He outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.89 strikes per minute, plus 115. Ilya, the El Matador Topuria. I think that means the Matador. I'm just guessing.
Does. Yeah.
I looked it up. I got it. He's 12-0, 4 knockouts, 7 submissions. So he's finished everyone except one. 4-0 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights via knockout. Used to fight at lightweight, used to fight at a bantamweight. He's missed weight before. Regional champ, 3 years younger than Mitchell. More active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.59 strikes per minute. That's a strike differential. Minus 135. I guess I usually start the main card portions of these proceedings. I'm going to take Topuria, the favorite to beat Mitchell. I just think he's more well-rounded fighter. Definitely a better striker with more power, especially over his past 3 fights. Very skilled grappler as well. And he's fought a higher level of competition. So give me the Matador to send, give Mitchell his first L.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I'm taking Topuria. I'm a little bit disappointed that the Bryce Mitchell fans of the world did not blow up his number, because I kind of thought this was going to be a dog spot for Ilya Topuria, and I was disappointed to find out it wasn't. But for all the reasons you said, right, like the dude hits like a truck. He had so that the body shot to Damon Jackson and the sound it made will forever ring in my head, because it sounded like somebody like popped a bag full of air when Damon Jackson got, you know, hit in the ribs. And it's just like, he hits so freaking hard, but also he's never been taken down. He's really good at jujitsu when he is on the ground. So like, man, Bryce Mitchell just doesn't strike me as the type of guy who is going to be able to dominate Ilya Topuria for 15 minutes. Because the other thing is, too, about Bryce Mitchell, and I feel like this needs to be noted, because, you know, he is a very good grappler. He's not the best wrestler in the world. He's certainly not the best wrestler in the world. His takedown accuracy is only about 52%. Yeah. And in addition to that, he's not particularly strong at finishing people. I know we, like, consider him this, like, fun submission artist because he hit that twister on Matt Salas. But, like, he's got one finish in 6 UFC fights. And that includes fights against Tyler Diamond and Bobby Moffitt and Charles Rosa. And like, if he is some sort of, like, wizard on the mat, he should be finishing. I mean, he should be finishing Edson Barboza, right? Like, he did beat up Edson Barboza and control Edson Barboza. But, like, if he's a submission whiz, he should be able to finish him. So knowing that he hasn't had a lot of finishes on the mat, I just don't know that he's going to be able to spend 15 minutes with Ilya Topuria and dominate for all 15 of those minutes. You know what I mean by that?
Yep. I see him just like desperately going for takedowns and not doing very well with that, because I don't think he's going to like how it goes on the feet.
Agreed. Yeah. I think this is going to be really nasty for him on the feet.
You know what's not nasty, Dan?
WynnBET?
Yes. WynnBET. Ready Win Money and Booster Odds. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Win Rewards on WynnBET. Looking to get involved in the same game parlay? WynnBET is your home with their WynnBET, a build your own bet, letting you customize the bet you want to make. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. WynnBET has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, win $100. So much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. So they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Okay, we agreed on the first one. Let's see how we do on the second. Middleweights, Darren Till versus Dricus Duplessis. Yes, Darren Till still fights in the UFC. Darren the Gorilla Till. And as of now, he's hasn't pulled out of the fight yet as of recording. So there you go. That's the farthest he's made it in quite a while. He's 18-4-1, Mr. Till. 10 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 6-4-1 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights, and he's only won 1 of his last 5. He lost his last fight via submission, which was back in September of 2021. He's not won a fight since November of 2019. So it has been a while. Now, he used to fight at welterweight, missed weight twice. Now he's a middleweight. He's a gorilla after all. Wasn't he going to win a belt at welterweight, win a belt at middleweight, win a belt at light heavyweight? Wasn't that the plan?
That's the way people talked about him, for sure.
He was a Muay Thai champion before this. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.76 strikes per minute, plus 155. DDP, Duplessis, Still Knocks is the nickname. We still don't know what that means, right?
I don't, no. Okay.
Why has he not been on your podcast, Dan?
I think the time difference between where I live in South Africa is difficult.
I thought you were going to say you don't speak South African.
I don't believe that to be a language, nor do I speak it.
Correct. It is not, and you do not speak it. Correct. Duplessis, 17-2, 7 knockouts, 9 submissions. So he's finished everyone except one person. He's been finished in both of his losses. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. So he's gone the distance once. That's what I'm trying to say. 3-0 in the UFC. It's part of a 5-fight winning streak. He's not lost since October of 2018. He used to fight at welterweight. He was the UFC champion 2 times over. We have 3 UFC, former UFC champions on this card. Are they all like coached by the same person? Do you know? Is that why they're all showing up on the same card?
So I know Simon and Dricus Duplessis are. Who's the third UFC champion?
Third one was
Dolce. Dolce champion. Yeah, he was actually a dual champion now that I think about it. He was light heavyweight and heavyweight.
Yep. Yes. All right. Duplessis also was a KSW champion, so he should be nicknamed champion, not Still Knocks, because that means nothing to us. He's 1 inch taller than Till, 2 inches of reach, 2 years younger. He's almost 3 times more active landing strikes in the UFC than Till is. He's outstruck his opponents in the UFC by 2.32 strikes per minute. Very nice number there. Grappling stats are also better than Till's, minus 185. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going Duplessis. I just don't know. I just don't know how much more we can trust Darren Till. And don't get me wrong, he's, you know, I think we kind of unfairly looking back at his 2-fight losing streak here, Robert Whittaker, Derek Brunson, those are tough losses, and they largely beat him by grappling. But here's the thing, I don't know that Duplessis couldn't beat him that way. You know what I mean? Like, I think Duplessis could almost beat him that way. And he went toe-to-toe on the feet with Calvin Gastelum in his other fight, and Calvin Gastelum, by a lot of people's count, beat him, which is not a pretty thing as far as your striking goes. Like, you shouldn't be losing a striking battle to Calvin Gastelum. But Dricus Duplessis, in addition to that, he hits so hard. He's faster. He's younger. He's going to be the more polished guy, because I just don't know what this layoff means for Till with all of these injuries and the mix-up in training. And he's been training 950 different places. Yeah, give me the consistency of Duplessis, and I think he gets done here.
Yeah, I'm obviously taking DDP as well. Yeah, Till, you can't trust him until you see what he looks like in the cage. I'm probably downplaying his whole career and how good he is more than I should, so maybe he'll make me pay for these words come Saturday. But yeah, Duplessis is really good, though. It's not like he's coming in with a tune-up fight. He's fighting someone that's super, bigger, younger, better striker, better grappler, a finisher. There's a lot of guys. Most guys I would pick Duplessis to beat in the middleweight division. So, especially a Dusty, Rusty, Darren Till. So I kind of like his number, too. Minus 185 for Duplessis. Not too shabby.
No, that's not terrible.
We shall see if it shows up later in a recommended place. We shall see. All right. This fight is a catchweight fight. It is a very much a last minute fight. 180 pounds. Alex Moreno versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. We'll tell you about the great white Moreno first. 22-7 with 1 no contest. 6 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. He's taking this fight in 5 days notice. He's 11-4 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's won 4 straight and 5 of 6. He's not lost a fight since December 2020. He was the Legacy FC champion before. Used to fight at middleweight. 2010 was his pro MMA debut. 4 years younger than Ponzinibbio. Striking stats are in his favor over Ponzinibbio. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.35 strikes per minute, plus 155, and he is filling in for an injured Robbie Lawler. Ponzinibbio, the Argentine dagger, or Gente Boa, which means what? I can't remember what that means again.
Good man?
Yeah, what's with all these good guys, good men, golden boys? Gente Boa. Something like that.
Yeah. I'm going to get to the end of it.
All right. He's 28-6, Ponzinibbio. 15 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, 10-5 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight. He's won 1 of his last 4. He went 4-0 on The Ultimate Fighter. 2008 was his pro MMA debut. He's inch taller, inch of reach on Morono. Plus 2.3 strikes per minute. So he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.23 strikes per minute over his career. He's got better grappling stats than Morono, minus 185. Intern on it?
Yeah, it means good person.
Okay. Yeah, are you picking the good person or are you picking the great white here?
It's you're leading off on this one, homie.
Oh, that's right. All right. I'm going against my stats, Dan. That's they don't pick short notice fighters. Short notice fighters are only winning 37% of the time over the past couple of years and 31% of the time this year. But despite that, I'm taking Alex Morono. I especially like it that I'm getting dog money here. The fact that it's a higher weight than 170 means it's going to favor him. Because it means he is not going to be able to cut, not going to have to cut all the way down to 170. So that's a plus. He's younger than Ponzinibbio. That's a plus. He's on a nice streak. That's a plus. Ponzinibbio just hasn't looked the same since he came back. He missed what sat out from the end of 2018 to early 2021. Since that time, he's gone 1-3. He's just not looked like the top contender he was before that huge layoff. So give me Morono and the plus money, and hopefully he's one of the 30% of the people that pull through in these situations.
Yeah. So first of all, I would say I really did think about taking Alex Morono here, but I'm not gonna. I really thought I was going to too. In fact, even if you asked me this morning, I was taking Alex Morono. But the more and more I thought about it, the short notice worries me, and it worries me in a couple of different ways. Obviously, the short notice is always an alarm. The fact that he can't make the weight, also kind of an alarm, because I'm wondering, you know, what he would have had to cut, what he is still going to have to cut and all of that kind of stuff. And here's the other thing about Morono is like, Morono is a guy who tries to put a pace on you and tries to wear you out and tries to, like, you know, go toe to toe with you and make you fight a dirty, gritty fight. I mean, if you look at that fight with Sam Ellsberger that he won, you know, he threw 100+ punches and grinded against the cage with Sam Ellsberger. And, you know, you could say the same thing with his fight with Mickey Gall. He really wore Mickey Gall out. But the problem is now he's fighting a guy in Ponzinibbio who, first of all, has pretty good cardio. You look at that fight with Michel Pereira. He arguably won that fight. I mean, it was a split decision with Michel Pereira, which is, you know, nothing to be ashamed of at this point in time. I scored it for Pereira, that being said. But, like, there's no problem with scoring that fight for Ponzinibbio at the end of the day. And he won the last round. That's the fact of the matter. He definitely won the last round and maybe the second. So he gets better as it goes. And now you're telling me he doesn't have to cut the last 10 pounds. A guy who hits like a truck now doesn't have to cut weight as much as more. Like, I actually think it's a benefit for Santiago Ponzinibbio that this comes in at 180, not a benefit for Morono. So the more and more I thought about it, the more and more I decided, yeah, I think I got to go chalk here.
Well, there you go. Now you've heard both sides of the argument here. This is like another Freaky Friday situation, Dan. You're being me and I'm being you. I'm going against my stats and you're leaning into them. So
yeah, they seem right this time, though.
And I'm taking the underdog, too, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
We shall see come Saturday night. All right. Co-main event. It must be co-main event time. Jared Gordon's in it, right?
Jared Gordon's a lot of fun to watch.
I enjoy Jared Gordon. He's not a pay-per-view co-main eventer. That's all. But anyhow, lightweights, Paddy Pimblett. Is he really a co-main eventer at this point? Not based.
I think he's if you put him on a fight night card, he's a main eventer.
Yeah, that's true. Paddy Pimblett versus Jared Gordon. Obviously, Dan is a big Paddy Pimblett fan. As longtime listeners know. All right. Flash Gordon first, 19-5. 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once, so he's been finishing all of his losses. 7-4 in the UFC. He's won 4 of his last 5, including his last fight. Used to fight at featherweight. He's missed weight twice. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Right. 2011 was his pro MMA debut. He's got striking stats are in his favor over Pimblett, and he's more active landing strikes as well. He's got a very good strike differential in the UFC, 2.42 strikes per minute. He outstrikes his opponents, plus 210. Paddy the Batty Pimblett, a.k.a. Owen Hart, 19-3, 6 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been submitted one time. 3-0 in the UFC, all via finish. It's part of a 5-fight winning streak. He's not lost since September 2018. He was a Cage Warriors champion, also was a regional champion. He's fed at featherweight and bantamweight. Hard to imagine now, the way he balloons up after each fight. He's missed weight twice in the past, as just like Gordon. 2012 was his pro MMA debut. He's got 1 inch of height, 5 inches of reach on Gordon, 7 years younger. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.19 strikes per minute. Grappling stats are better than Gordon's, and minus 260. Now it's your turn.
Jared Gordon.
Yeah, I figured you'd do that because you hate Jared Pimblett.
It's not even that I hate Paddy Pimblett. Do I think the shtick is kind of annoying? For sure. I think the shtick's kind of annoying. But, like, the fact of the matter is, like, I do think we are wildly conflating how good this guy is. Do you want to guess his takedown accuracy off the top of your head?
Probably not very good.
28%, man. 28%. Yeah. It's atrocious. And not for anything, he isn't good at defending takedowns either. You know, like, he's coming off of that fight with Jordan Leavitt. Jordan Leavitt went 3-9. Okay, maybe not the best percentage ever for Jordan Leavitt. Do you know what Jordan Leavitt did against Trey Ogden? First of all, do you know Trey Ogden?
Yes, I do.
Okay, do you know what he did against Trey Ogden?
Tell me, Dan. What did he do?
0-3. 0-3 he did against Trey Ogden. He could not take Trey Ogden down. He took Paddy Pimblett down 3 times. You know, he could not barely take down Matt Salas. You know, he had to have Matt Salas take him down to wind up being on the top. So, like, you're telling me now that he's, you know, we've got him going into a fight against Jared Gordon, who is pretty damn good on the mat. You know, like, you take away that fight with Grant Dawson, who took him down a bunch of times. Jared Gordon defends a takedown very well, and Jared Gordon's not bad on top. He took down Chris Fishgold a bunch of times and ground and pounded him out. So, like, could Paddy Pimblett wind up on top here and wind up getting a finish? Maybe, but, like, I don't trust his hands enough to pick him to win a striking match here. I don't think his grappling's good enough here for me to think that, like, Jared Gordon isn't a massive step over Jordan Leavitt or Luigi Vendramini. So, like, yeah, I think if, at the very least here, Jared Gordon gives him one of the most brutal fights he's ever been in.
Yeah, this is definitely a big step up for him. He's been given pretty easy matchups, very easy matchups so far over the UFC. I'm not impressed by him at all. Just like you, I'm still picking him here. I don't think he should be minus 260. I'm going to take, I'm taking him big size advantage and youth advantage, which matters at the lower weight classes. I think he's better than Alex. What's his name again? Flash Gordon. I think he's better than him, but he's not minus 260 better than him. So I wouldn't be shocked in the least if Jared Gordon got cut. Wouldn't be shocked at all if Jared Gordon reigns on the Paddy the Batty parade. But I'm picking Pimblett anyhow. I'm just not making a recommended play. That's for sure. So, all right. Main event. Light heavyweight championship. Jan Blachowicz, the former champ, versus Magomed Ankalaev, another fighter that Dan used to hate. I don't think you hate him quite as much now, right?
I don't think I ever hated him.
Or you were annoyed by him or something.
I don't think I believed in the hype quite the way other people do. Yeah.
Yeah, like Pimblett. Maybe same Pimblett thing. Will win you over too.
Yeah, and at least with Pimblett, there's like a little bit of like can't stand the shtick. There isn't really a shtick with Magomed Ankalaev. No.
Nope. And let me see. What can I tell you? Who should I tell you about first? How about Blachowicz first? 29-9, 9 knockouts, 9 submissions. Been knocked out twice, submitted twice. He is 12-6 in the UFC. He's gone 6-1 over his last 7 fights. He won his last fight via TKO injury. Used to be the champion, as I said, was also the KSW champion, also a Muay Thai champion and a grappling champion. His nickname should be champion. 2007 was his pro MMA debut. He's got 3 inches of reach on Ankalaev. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.78 strikes per minute. His grappling stats are better than Ankalaev's as well, plus 225. Magomed Ankalaev, 18-1, 10 knockouts. He's been submitted one time, the only time he's lost. 9-1 in the UFC. He lost his debut and then has won 9 straight. won his last fight via TKO. He's not lost since March of 2018. Was a regional champ. Inch taller than Blachowicz. 9 years younger than him. Striking stats in his favor over him. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by a strike and a half per minute. Minus 280. As I wrote, I think this line is a little screwy. I'm taking Ankalaev. I don't think he should be a minus 280 favorite here. Way younger, which matters. Blachowicz is really getting up there in years, plus in wear on and tread on his tires. He's had twice as many fights just in MMA alone than Ankalaev, not counting all the other things that Tochi also is a champion on. I'll take the younger fighter, more powerful striker, better striker. All this Polish power that Blachowicz claims to have really doesn't pan out. He's got 9 knockouts in what, 38 fights. So yeah, there's not much power there really. Ankalaev is a more powerful striker, and he is my pick.
Yeah. So first of all, that's just fundamentally not true. He's not a more powerful striker in any stretch of the imagination. His only like standing knockouts are against like Ion Kutalaba or Marcin Prochniow. And any other of his finishes are all ground and pound for the most part. Like Magomed Ankalaev is not, I don't think, powerful on the feet, and certainly not more powerful on the feet than Jan Blachowicz. And yeah,
you're biting into the Polish power nonsense.
Well, I'm not saying he's like some ungodly strength on the feet, but like, you know, you mentioned he didn't have very many knockouts in his career, but that's because if you go back and you look at the early parts of his career, he was a grappler. He was a guy who won by rear naked choke like 7 or 8 times in a row or something like that. But like, if you look at all of his knockouts in the UFC, all of them are insane power. It's a body kick that just crumpled Ilir Latifi. It is a, you know, left hook that made Luke Rockhold's head turn all the way around. It's a right hook that dropped Corey Anderson in an absolutely brutal way. You know, like what he did to Dominic Reyes is vicious. And at the end of all of this too, I think we're forgetting that like, this is most likely going to be a striking match. This isn't like one of these guys has like a huge grappling advantage over the other guy, because I know his last name ends in OV or AEV in this case. AEV. And that automatically means that we assume he's a grappler. He's not a great grappler. You know, apart from, you know, takedown against Thiago Santos, this is a dude who went 1 of 4 against Volkan Ozdemir, who is, I personally don't think of as being all that great of a grappler. You know, he went 3 of 9 against Nikita Krylov and got taken down by Nikita Krylov. I actually think that if you wound up seeing anybody score a takedown in this fight, it might be Jan Blachowicz. The guy who took Israel Adesanya down flawlessly as much as he wanted to. He actually had a higher success rate in taking down Nikita Krylov, and he submitted Nikita Krylov, which Magomed Ankalaev didn't do. So, yeah, like, I'm going to dispute the idea that Ankalaev somehow has more power on the feet. I did think that's just categorically false. And in addition to that, I think Blachowicz just dominates on the feet here.
How many head kick and punches does Ankalaev have to have on his resume? He's got
what? Does he got one?
No, Prochniow, head kick and punches. Dolcha, front kick and punches. Kutalaba, head kick and punches. Kutalaba, KO punches.
Yeah, you're right. He did knock out Ion Kutalaba like 3 times in a row.
But still, yeah, it's true.
And one of those guy?
He's green those, when he gets mad.
And one of those, by the way, Ion Kutalaba wasn't out. He was still throwing punches and the ref stopped it.
That's why they fought again.
Yeah, that's why they fought again, despite the fact it didn't feel like they fought again. And I don't know if you've noticed on Ion Kutalaba's record, not a lot of good things happening on that record.
All right, so you're picking Blachowicz at plus 225. Oh, Gumby. I'm fundamentally wrong, though, everyone. Remember this.
I'm not saying he can't win.
Yeah.
But I'm saying your statement about him being a more powerful striker is false.
Well, we'll have to get punched by both men, and we'll see. Okay?
you go first.
All right, so the picks. Gumby's got Blachowicz. I got Ankalaev. I have Pimblett. He has Gordon. He has Ponzinibbio. I have Morono. We both agreed on Duplessis. We both agreed on Tapuria. So a lot of dissension on this. You basically, it's good. You're getting both sides of the argument on for those fights. You choose who you agree with if you want to know our yearly stats, just, you know, hit me up. And I can tell you who's leading with most correct picks and most money on this year.
Ask them about the last couple of months while you're at it.
Do that as well. All right. You ready for a recommended place?
Yeah, I'm ready for yours. Yeah.
You want me to start or you want to start? Always make you start. I can start.
I could start. I'm going to start by taking the Aaliyah Tuparia money line. -135. I like that one for, we'll say, of my imaginary $100, I'll take that one for 30.
30 Tuparia. -135. All right. Got it. Boom, 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 boom. What I said. Oh, DePlisis. I like DePlisis' this number. 30 on DDP money line, -185.
And you said 30?
Yep, please. And thank all you.
Right. I'm gonna take $25 and put it on Jan Blachowicz.
Dude, you're such a jerk.
I think he's gonna knock him out. You know what? I was going to say, like, hey, you know, and if you guys are at home and you had a good night and you get to the main event and you're thinking to yourself, like, how can I make this Jan Blachowicz fight a little juicier? His KO prop is +550. Just saying.
Yeah, the numbers are really skewed in this fight. Like, definitely the if you're a better who goes for value picks, he's definitely the pick in that fight. Even money line +225 or the knockout line, because he's got Polish power after all. All right. My next recommended play will be that's too big. I try not to do dogs. I like Salvador -215 over Da Silva. Give me 25 on that.
All right. I'm going to go next to a prop I like. So I like, you know, I mentioned already, I like Jared Gordon in this fight, and I like Jared Gordon quite a bit. I believe you quoted me somewhere right around +200, which I think 210. Already. Yeah, 210. That's a great price already. But here's the fact of the matter. Jared Gordon not finishing a lot of dudes lately. In fact, all six of his last wins have come by decision. So I'm going to take Jared Gordon, but I'm going to tell you to prop it up by getting a decision in here. By doing that, you're taking +210 and you're turning it into +450. So if you're betting on Gordon in the first place, you might as well bet him on decision. And I'm going to take $20 on that.
All right. I will take another 25 on Tuparia money line as Gumby did earlier.
Okay. And how much did you want on that?
Again? 25 on that, please. I'm having finding plays I really like this week, but I got a full draw on.
I've got too many that I like. It's well, you can
give me some then.
So, this next one I'm going to split into two. So I'm going to give you both of them at the same time because it's two plays on the same exact fight. I'm going to take Jay Perrin and I'm going to put a little on his money line to start. So I'm going to start by putting $10 on his money line. But instead of putting everything I was going to put on his money line, which was just $15, I'm going to take 10 on his money line. And then I'm going to sprinkle in there $5 on him to win by submission. I could definitely see Raul Rosas giving up a position he shouldn't give up. I think a lot of people forget that when Jay Perrin was on the regional scene, the dude was like a submission wizard. You know, he's got like tons of rear naked chokes on his record. And if he just tires Raul Rosas out, or, you know, just does what he's supposed to do, keeps good positions, gets the choke late, the submission finish for Jay Perrin is +1200. So I'm just going to put, I'm just going to put $5 on him +1200 there too. Cause now if he wins, it covers the loss of missing out on the submission. And if he hits the submission, it pays a huge amount.
It sure does. All right. I've got 20 left. Let's put the last 20 on. Boom, 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 boom. All right. Let's put the last 20 on Shabazian. I'm counting on him bouncing back. Even if, like, as we said on yesterday's episode, even if he doesn't fully bounce back, I think should be able to beat Dalcha regardless. So I know it's -305, but I will put $20 on Shabazian. Not the sexiest of lines. All right, Gumby, he's got Tuparia money line.
Oh, hang on. I still got $10.
You have money left? Oh, my gosh.
Your math good. Isn't very good. But I still got $10 left. I'm going to throw that on one more fun prop I like. I like Steven Kozlov's submission line. in fighting on the curtain jerker against Cameron Simon. 6-0 with 6 submissions, and for some reason I can get a submission line at +700. So give me my last $10 on a submission from the submission specialist.
Ooh, if some of these come through, finally, Gumby's going to be laughing us out of here. All right, so Gumby's got Topuria, Moneyline, Blachowicz, Moneyline, Gordon, Moneyline, Perrin, Moneyline, and Perrin via sub, 2 separate picks. And then
Gordon by decision, by the way. Gordon by decision.
Oh, right, I'm sorry, Gordon by decision. Yeah, that made it, that juiced it up for you a bit. All right, Gordon by decision, +450. And then, Perrin decision. No, Perrin to win, and then also Perrin to win via sub. 2 separate bets, and then Coslow via sub. My picks are DDP, Dreykus Duplessis Moneyline, Topuria Moneyline, Salvador Moneyline, Shabazian Moneyline. Now time for our Hungry Man Jong Superfan Parlay.
So in the end of the prelim show, we talked about two guys who we liked their knockout chances. So I'm going to take both of them on the knockout props. Billy Quarantillo, we mentioned, you know, he's got a couple of recent knockouts. Alexander Hernandez's chin hasn't looked real great. He'll be coming down a weight. Even if he's not necessarily getting the like big one punch knockout, I totally could see him just getting like a TKO ground and pound finish here. So right now, Billy Q by KO +330. So I'm going to pair that together with Chris Curtis's money line, or Chris Curtis's KO line, which is coming out at +275. So you got +230, +275. Put those two together, you're going to get +1534. I think there's a good chance both of those score knockouts.
All right. Billy Q and Chris Curtis via knockout. Take those two. You win 50 +1534. That's some big money, and it's sure to hit. It's just bound to hit. All right. That's it for us. We will be back in your Sunday to recap UFC and Bellator and whatever else we feel like talking about. Until then, make sure you get in our Discord and you can chat about all the action and all the picks, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord on Twitter, SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that account. He's also at Gumby Vreeland. I am at Jeff Fox Writer. All the writings on various sports and everybody else's writings on various sports are at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Enter my pick'em contest and read my MMA writing. Subscribe to my Substack at moneymma.substack.com and listen to Gumby's Top Turtle MMA podcast this week. He's got Billy Quarantillo. And he's got Jay Perrin. Yes. Jay Perrin. So there you go. And like I said, we'll be back on Sunday. Thanks for listening. Gumby's going to take you home.
All right. I'm Dana Gumby Vreeland. He's still not Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.